And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me tonight is Emilio Danilo. In this episode, we'll share our predictions for the upcoming season for Fulham and also the league. We'll also share some of the results of the Viva El Fulham 2015-2016 prediction survey that Mike Gregg did. I look forward to discussing our thoughts on the new season, but before we get going, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Emilio, how are you doing, my friend?
Good evening, Russ. Yeah, nice to be back. I'm doing well. You know, it's just seeing the results tonight on our neighbours down the road at Stamford Bridge, having lost for the second time in 3 days. So, looking forward to the show, in bullish mood for the season, and also seeing our neighbours smarting after a second consecutive defeat. So, raring to go. So,
Well, that's always good news there, Emilio. That's always a good way to start the show. Talk about some bad news from our neighbors down the road. But listen, before we go through predictions, I want to share some information again that broke today. It was on the Fulham website. Again, you go right to fulhamfc.com. You will see this. It's entitled Garbutt Injury Update. And again, I'm just going to read it to you, Emilio, and get your thoughts. After reviewing the injury picked up by Luke Garbutt during last Saturday's friendly against Crystal Palace, the club can confirm the following. A scan revealed that Luke suffered some ligament damage in his ankle, and he's expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Okay, Emilio, how big of a blow is this for Fulham?
Massive blow, to be honest. A huge blow. It's, you know, just only 3 days before the start of the new season. And, you know, okay, I would have liked to have seen a few more, you know, central defensive signings by now, but we had a good, you know, positive with Garbutt joining the club from a Premier League team, and, you know, highly rated England under 21 international. Obviously, we're saying the right things to encourage these players to come down a division and to play regular football. But, you know, to have him injured for 4 to 6 weeks, that's a massive blow already. And we're back to square one defensively now. So no reinforcements. Probably have to have a makeshift back four, or certainly full backs, for Saturday's game against Cardiff. And, you know, I'm sure all fans are going to be saying, here we go again. You know, we've known about these problems for two seasons and we still haven't addressed it. And, you know, we've got plenty of goals in the team, good quality midfield, but, you know, can we realistically get promoted or push for top six finish with a defence like we've got now? You know, it's unlikely. So a big blow. Let's regroup, let's revisit, and let's see what the guys can pull together the next few days. But it's likely we're going to go into the new season no different to the end of last season. And as usual, we leave everything to the last minute. Very, very frustrating, but, you know, it's... We are where we are. We've just got to look forward, I think. Let's not dwell on the past. Let's have belief, confidence, and let's hopefully the management team can come up with some good options as contingency for Garbutt. But 6 weeks out is a big blow.
It is a big blow. You know, again, I was giving it some thought, Emilio. You know, they can probably get by without him. But again, you want to start the season strong, and it'll be interesting to see how Kidd handles it. You know, you do have Sean Kavanagh, but I believe he was out injured for the last friendly, so I'll be curious to see if he will be available. You might be able to move over Jazz Richards over to that side and possibly play Jack Rimmer. That could be an option. But again, it's just not an ideal situation to start the season, Emilio.
No, absolutely not. I mean, we haven't got much cover in that space, and that's you know, we've recognized massive gaps in there. I think it was David who mentioned in previous shows, it might have been Mike, that we haven't really replaced Paul Konchesky in that space. And I wasn't necessarily a big Konchesky fan, but what would I do to have someone of his calibre now, to be honest? It's, you know, we're back to square one. I'm sure the club are doing with their utmost to find a suitable and adequate replacement, but nothing better than leaving everything to the last minute, isn't it, Russ? So very disappointing on both fronts, but let's believe that the club, they're doing the right things to address the issues.
Listen, I certainly hope that they are. And, you know, there's still time left in the window. And, you know, listen, I still want to see a center back or two. Mike Gregg and I have talked about it on episodes before, that we, two of us believe that we need at least one and possibly two. And now you have to figure things out with your fullbacks, because, again, you might have to be moving fullbacks around. Again, it'll be interesting to see how Kidd handles this situation, because, like you mentioned, we don't have that much cover. All right, Emilio, let's get into predictions. Again, I'm going to start right from the top. I'm going to go right to the big category. I'm going to share thoughts from the Viva El Fulham survey in just a second, and also what the Fulham supporters think. But I want to get your prediction to start this off. Okay, let's go right to it. Which position do you think Fulham will finish in?
Okay, then. So if I look back 12 months ago, you know, I predicted, I think, very, you know, openly that we finished 13th or 14th, and I got a lot of abuse, if you recall, 12 months ago. So
I do.
We actually finished a lot lower than that. So I'm a lot more bullish this season. I think we've got a better framework, better balance of players. I think we'll be more consistent than we were last season. I'm hopeful that we'll have a better start. We can't get a worse start, let's be honest, but at the end of the day, unless I start to see some strength in that central defence, you know, I think we may struggle to get a top six. So I'm sort of sitting in probably seventh or eighth minimum. I think we can get top eight, but get a couple of reinforcements in central defence, keep it tight at the back. I think we've got enough depth in the centre of the park and we've got goals in the team. So hence, I am more bullish. I think we've kept a good proportion of our players as well. So there's going to be a bit of continuity there, which we wouldn't have had 12 months ago. So I'm expecting more consistency. I don't expect to see the thrashings we had on and off last season. But let's sort out that defence. If we sort out the defence, then we can get top six. We can get into the playoffs. But for now, you know, I think we're slightly short of that. And it's purely because of our defensive liability. So I'm going worst case eighth. But I think we can sneak into the playoffs with some strength in defence.
Okay, very interesting take. And I'm going to share the Viva El Fon survey in 1 second, but I'm going to share with you my prediction. I actually predicted on this survey sixth, and maybe I'm being a little bit too optimistic for the reasons you just mentioned, Emilio. The defense is what could hold us back from making the playoffs. The midfield, I think, has been revamped. I think it's going to set up our strikers up front. I think Ross McCormack is going to have a huge season because he's going to get the service that he needs. So I think the midfield, it has been improved tremendously, but I go back to the defense. You know, again, there are holes, especially with those center backs. Again, I don't have confidence right now in that tandem. I don't know what the tandem is going to be. Is it going to be Bodaroff? Is it going to be Hutchinson? Is it going to be Dan Byrne? Who is going to be those two? And will there be reinforcements? And I think if there are going to be reinforcements, Emilio, we could be in decent shape. So it could come down to the end of the transfer window to get us reinforcements. And how will we handle the beginning of the season with what we just talked about, with the Luke Garbutt situation? How are they going to handle that? It's going to come down to the defense because I think there are going to be goals. But I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. I'm going to stay with my original prediction and go with six. But what's interesting, Emilio, I'm going to share with you the results of the prediction survey from Mike Reich. Very interesting. And just to mention this, 612 fans were part of this prediction survey that you can actually see on Viva El Fulham. And what's interesting, you're going to appreciate this. Eighth had the most votes there at 16.9%. So the fans actually, Emilio, agree with you. It's at almost 17%, 16.9%. And second was actually sixth, which I'm sorry, fifth. Fifth came in with 14%, which is interesting because sixth came in with 12.2%. But what do you make of those results, Emilio? Actually, the fans, for the most part, agree with you.
Yeah, I think fans are more optimistic than they were 12 months ago. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, we kind of endure a worse season than we had last year, or the last two seasons, in fact. And, you know, there is reason to be more optimistic. And like you said, we have revamped that midfield. I think we've got more energy, we've got more pace and more quality as well. And we've got goals in that midfield. I think last season, our goal ratio from midfield was very, very poor. I think we've got more goals from midfield. That will take the pressure off the front men. And, you know, if we can get goals across the pitch, good quality sides don't rely on one striker to score them 30 goals. You would need goals from central defenders, from set pieces, from, you know, from free kicks from the likes of O'Hara, assists and goals from Ben Pringle. We've got players who can score from all positions. I think we just need to be more consistent. And, you know, top eight, I think it goes to show that the fans overall are more optimistic and bullish. But I think we're slightly, maybe a couple players short. I think if we did reinforce that defence, I think many of those people support, you know, predicting eighth may, if resurveyed, will probably say, well, actually, we can get into that playoff.
No, listen, it's a good point. And I'm going to read some comments from the Fulham supporters on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, and you're going to see some of that. And I'm going to start with Alan Hammersley. He said, I reckon fifth, I hope. Dan Wilson, realistically, I say around seventh. Gareth Brooks said, I feel anywhere between 6th and 10th. I don't feel we have the defense right now to get in the top six. Going with your thoughts there, Emilio, and I tend to agree with it, but I am being a little bit optimistic. I think we can get in six, even with the defensive issues that we have right now, but it's going to be tough. Roger Lewis said, we are a few key players short for a top six, so I reckon any place above 10th will be fine for this season. Tomina Robinson, unless we get the defense sorted, the best I can see is around 8th. Agreeing with you, Emilio. Curtis Hurd said, realistically, we could be looking at a relegation battle again if we don't sign a center back. Okay. Mitch Escott Sloan said, champions. I like that. Chris Cox said, second just. Ben Hardwick said, between 7th and 10th. Stephen O'Keefe said, I think 8th, but would not be surprised if we made the playoffs. And Thea Evans said, 4th, and then the lottery of the playoffs. Simon Rugg said, 7th or 8th. Luke Aiken said 8th or 9th, unless we sign Dunk. And Eden Gordon said 4th to 6th, but not unless the defense is reinforced, sorted out. Okay, Emilio, what do you make of some of the comments from the Fulham supporters?
Very consistent, I think. At the end of the day, I think you've got fairly sort of people are aligned in their thinking and, you know, where we've got our weaknesses. And, you know, let's look back last season. The top 17, I think Middlesbrough had the best defensive record, top of my head, but those top teams all got promoted. They all conceded on average one goal a game. We conceded two, almost two. So that's a difference. You know, on average, we were conceding just under two goals per game, every game, which means you ultimately need to score three goals per game to win. So it sounds obvious, but, you know, if you're averaging only one goal conceded per game over a whole season, then, you know, you naturally take the pressure off your forward men. It means you only have to score two goals to win the game. So it's, you know, purely by virtue of mathematics and you know, numbers. You know, let's keep that. If we get that goals against ratio down, means we need to score less goals to win games, which means that we've got more chance to pick up 3 points rather than a point here and there. And key thing is take away all those 5-0 hammerings and 5-1s and 4-1s, etc. There were some games where we were very defensively tight, maybe got away with it at times, and if we can continue to have on average of one goal per game conceded, then that's promotional material. And with the forwards that we've got and the amount of goals in the team, you know, I could see us winning comfortably, doing what we did under Tigan in the year we got promoted to the Premier League. You know, we had a lot of goals in us. We had Sahar scored 30 plus goals, Barry Hales, Boa Morte, the midfield was scoring consistently. You know, that there wasn't a problem scoring goal. We conceded a few, admittedly, that season, but we were an attractive team in those days, and we always knew we could score more than we conceded. And Bournemouth, Watford's, Norwich's last season only conceded on average one goal a game. That's where we need to strive to get to. If we can hit that, then we've got the ability to get promoted. Anything more than that, 1.5 goals per game, you're looking at playoffs minimum, at best. So let's look at it purely on goals conceded. And that will determine, you know, if we're over a goal per game conceded, then it's going to put more pressure on getting into the top six.
Oh, it's a great take there, Emilio. You really nailed it there. You know, again, that's why for me, I see where you're going on this. You know, again, we're going to score goals. I truly believe we're going to score more goals, but it's going to come down to the defense. The defense, you know, if they can keep it tighter in the back, and I think we have a legitimate chance to get six. But they do need reinforcements. I agree with several of the fans here that if we start the season, you know, again, at the beginning of September, and we have the same center back pairing, it's going to be difficult. I'm still going to go for six, but again, if they bring in a quality center back, things could change pretty quickly. You know, but the loss of Garbutt's going to be an issue in the beginning, and they've got a lot to overcome to start the season. So a lot of factors going on here, but I think we're going to score a good amount of goals. It's really going to come down to that defense. I agree with you there. All right, let's move on. Let's go to the championship. Who's going to win the championship, Emilio?
Good question. Well, I actually put a bet on Fulham winning the championship last, only because the odds were quite generous at the weekend. It was 25-1 before the Crystal Palace game. So, for a better word, I've obviously thrown some money down the drain, but, you know, it's worth a few quid just to try to get something back at 25-1. But realistically, you know, you look at Middlesbrough, you know, potentially as a team who are, you know, unfortunate to not go into the automatic promotion places last season. defensively were very tight and are spending big bucks to get up. But spending money doesn't always get you there. Bournemouth is testament to that. So I'm actually going to go slightly outside the box. I think Burnley shouldn't be underestimated. I think Burnley, good organisation. They've got the Premier League experience from last season. Hard to beat. And Sean Dyche is a very capable, very good manager. And they've managed to retain him, which is a massive plus. Yes, they've lost Danny Ings. But if I'm actually putting a betting man, I think no one likes to go to Turf Moor. We've got a horrendous record at Turf Moor. And I can't remember the last time we've actually won there, let alone getting a draw. So I'm actually going slightly outside the box, saying Middlesbrough are the obvious candidates for promotion. But maybe look at Burnley. They may surprise a few people. They might bounce straight back up.
Okay, very interesting take there, Emilio, going with Burnley. I'm going to go with Derby County. I have a little bias there because I know many fans of Derby County, but I actually think that if they got the manager right, and again, you know, who knows if Clement's going to work out, but if he does work out, they certainly have the talent there. So I am going to go with Derby County. You know, they restocked a little bit as well. I think that they can win the league. So I'm going to go with Derby County. And what's interesting, going to the Viva El Fulham survey, you're going to like this. Middlesbrough got 53% of the vote. Derby County got a little over 30%. But what's interesting, you're going to like this. In fourth was Burnley with 3.2%. So some agree with you, Amelia.
Okay. I just feel that they've had a squad of players over the last few seasons playing at championship level. He's got the best out of those players. They're playing for their manager. They're playing for their fans, and they're playing for the passionate love of Burnley Football Club. And you ask any normal supporter goes in week in, week out, they know Burton Turf Moor is a difficult place to go to. Play there on a cold winter's night. Look at them in the Premier League. Man City lost there. They gave the top teams a lot of run for their money. I don't envy going up there. I think Burnley may... I actually disappointed they got relegated, so I thought they deserved to stay in the Premier League, but they just didn't have enough goals in them. And they've reinforced in that space, and I think they may surprise a few people and bounce straight back up, which not often happens when you get relegated.
Okay. Boy, you are really bullish on Burnley there. Okay, let's move on. Who's going to finish second, Amelia?
To be honest, I think probably Middlesbrough. I think Middlesbrough have got in, you know, they've got enough strength there. Again, they'll look to learn from mistakes from last season. And, you know, they threw it away in the end, but it was very tight at the top of that division last season. And, you know, if they get Jordan Rhodes, and invest elsewhere in the squad, then, you know, you'd like to think they've got the financial backing, and they've put a statement out there. Their statement is, you know, we don't want a repeat of last season. We want to go straight back up. And, you know, I see them probably getting an automatic promotion, certainly playoffs. But probably say, you know, Middlesbrough are probably the good odds to finishing second.
Okay, very good. You know what? I'm going to agree with you. I have Middlesbrough. And I think that they are poised to go back up to the Premier League. And a huge addition for them, Emilio, you're probably familiar with this, is Stuart Downing. I think that's huge. That shows intent. And like you mentioned, they are trying to get Jordan Rhodes. I think they really want to get back up badly. So I am going to go with Middlesbrough as the number two team. And again, let's go to the Viva El Fulham survey. You're going to like this as well. Let's see, which team will finish second? They have Derby County at 31%. Middlesbrough, like we're saying, at 22%, but a little further down. You're going to like this. In fourth, Burnley at a little under 10%.
Okay, interesting.
So the fans are on the same wavelength with you, Amelia.
Okay, that's good to hear. It's hopefully I won't get the same abuse as I got 12 months ago. But, again, I think we've got reason to be optimistic. I think last year was extremely tight at the top of the table. I don't see it being any different this year. I think you've got very similar teams. You know, the Premier team, the Premier League relegated, they're very similar in quality or lack of quality, whichever way you look at it. But I think that's going to make it quite competitive and quite compelling for the supporters next season. I think if we've got the ability to score goals, you know, and keep Craven Cottage as a fortress as it was many years ago, then, you know, I like to think we can go in and see, you know, good, comfortable victories next season, pick up a few away wins. You never know. We can get into those playoffs, but it's just reinforcing some key areas before we sort of jump up a level. But don't forget, this is always going to be a three-year plan. And,
right.
Let's not get carried away either. Let's be realistic.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get carried away because I'm going to give you my thoughts on who is going to win the playoffs. Who's going to win the playoffs?
Usually, you it's a team you least expect to sort of sneak into that top six place. And, you know, there are a few teams of, well, I think we're capable. Let's be honest. Even I'm predicting eighth, we're capable with a couple of strengths in defence. You know, if I was to put my money on the table, I think, you know, Wolverhampton Wanderers look a good outside bet. You know, they've got
ability. I agree with you.
Strengthen. So I'll probably say, you know, Wolverhampton Wanderers, or I had your other favourite team up north who thumped us 6-0 a couple of years ago. You know, I'm a feeling Hull City, God forbid, might sneak into that place. Well, no, you know, they, again, they've got a fairly strong squad experience at this level. And, you know, I'm going to go for Wolverhampton Wanderers. I'm going to say
okay.
That because I don't want to see Hull City going up there, but Wolves play a good brand of football. You know, we lost poorly against them at home last season at the beginning. And, I think they may surprise people. They may even get higher than six. But I'm going to go for Wolverhampton Wanderers to get into that to win the playoffs.
Okay, very good, Emilio. And of course, Sharker, I'm going to say Fulham. I'm actually going to agree with the Viva El Fulham survey, which had Fulham at almost 29%. The survey, you know, again, fans probably wishing Fulham get promoted. So the majority of the fans went with Fulham, followed by Hull City, Derby County, Middlesbrough, Wolverhampton Wanderers, Burnley, and QPR. That was the order. Very interesting. Very interesting, my friend. All right, let's now switch to the bottom of the table. Which three teams will be relegated, Emilia?
Okay, so, you know, the first thing you always automatically believe is the teams who get promoted are the most likely to get relegated. And I think there is some reason to believe that. I think Preston North End will struggle. You know, I've got them as one of my relegation candidates. I see Rotherham. Rotherham had, lucky to stay in the division in the end. You know, they didn't play particularly badly, but they sort of fell away towards the end. And I think they're probably odds on to go down. And then I was a little bit stumped. Who's my third choice? You know, everyone's saying, there's a lot of people saying MK Dons. I think they've proven last season they can beat big teams. They beat Man United. It's going to be an unknown for us. We've not played at their ground before. So I think they'll manage to survive. And I'm actually going for Huddersfield Town. A bit up and down.
Wow.
You know, I think, you know, Brighton and Hove Albion may struggle, but, you know, they've got one of my former favourite players re-signed for them for a year, so it's probably Zamora. So it's only based on that basis. I don't want them to get relegated because I've still got a soft spot for Bobby, despite what many fans think. And but I'm going for Huddersfield Town. I thought they should have done better last season. I thought with the players they've got and, you know, some of the financial backing they've got, they should have been delivering better. And I actually think they'll struggle this year. And they're my sort of, how do you say, sort of wild card option. They may just slip into that bottom three and maybe not get out of it. So I'm going for Rotherham, Huddersfield, and Preston North End.
Very interesting. Okay, my three teams are Rotherham. I agree with you there. I did put down Brighton and Hove Albion, and I put down MK Dons. Those are my three. And the fans on the Viva El Fulham survey, this is what they had. They had Rotherham, MK Dons, Preston North End, like you mentioned, Huddersfield Town, like you mentioned, followed by Bristol City and Brighton Hove Albion. But the top three were Rotherham, MK Dons, and Preston North End. Very interesting and kind of on the same wavelength as you, my friend.
Okay.
All right, let's – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say very interesting. Again, I think it's – you always expect to promote, like I said earlier, the promoted teams to struggle. But, you know, I think MK Dons, I think they'll stay there. I think – they've done miraculously well to come from where they were many years ago to where they are now. I mean, they should be very proud of themselves. And I actually think they may surprise a few people. Don't underestimate. There's always going to be an underdog there. And maybe MK Dons is that team who may be able to get mid-table, if not higher. So I think they'll do well.
Okay. Fair enough there, my friend. All right, let's move on and let's jump down a little bit. I'm going to give you the million-pound question. This is the million-pound question. You ready?
You go ahead.
Did Simons last the season?
I think you know my views on this. You know, I think you know what I'd like to say, and I don't think he will. I don't think he will. It's not because we'll have a disastrous start to the season. I think we'll have a steady start to the season. You know, I'll back the manager. The board have made a decision to retain his services. You know, I'm going to support him till either he gets us promoted or he gets dismissed because we're not performing. So I'm going to be there backing him. But I don't think there's going to be much tolerance here. You know, I think there's going to be, the guys have discussed it on previous shows. It's, you know, come November, October time when there's an international games, by then we'll know whether the club is going in the right direction or not. And we've got a tricky start. We haven't got an easy start there. And you know, I honestly think there's other people lying there in the wait. And you know who I'm going to mention here. And I'm not going to do his impersonation, by the way, David Tully. But but at the end of the day, you know, there's capable managers out there who are available and have declared, how would you say, that they weren't looking to come back into employment until September. Not August, not July, September. So do they know something that we don't? We'll see. Let's give the guy a chance. I don't think he'll last the season, but I hope the club does well. He gets us promoted and we'll all be singing his praises at the end of the season. But, you know, realistically, I think he will have a hard time to retain his job.
Okay. I understand where you're going on that. I am actually going to say he's going to survive the season. I'm going to say yes, because I think Mike Rigg has built a club that is, like I've told you, I think it's almost kip-proof, meaning that he's brought in some players that I think are built to play a good brand of football, but can help us score goals. I don't think we're going to be struggling like we did last season, and I think Kit's going to last. And if he lasts, that might mean good things for Fulham. So I am going to say yes. And actually, the Fulham supporters do agree with me on the Viva El Fulham survey. Believe it or not, Emilio, they have 63% saying yes, Kit Simons will survive the season. What do you think of that?
You know, it's you know, fairly solid, you know, support for him. And I think it's, you know, the players there are any strong manager can come in and leverage the players that have been purchased. So I think we've mentioned in previous shows that the objective of the board is to build a squad of players that are young, capable, experienced at this level, British as well. And you know, Kit Simons, has managed under 21 teams. He's been in that development squad for many years, and you know, maybe he can get the best out of these players. But the only concern I have is how attractive is Fulham Football Club for an independent player, players that we want to purchase. If we want to get the players who are going to take us to the next level,
right?
Do they want to come to Fulham Football Club? And if so, will you develop under Kit Simons? It's me going, same thing with my job. If I go to another employer, I want to go there to work with my new manager, my new employers, and see that I've got development path there. And, you know, many players may think, well, actually, you know, what experience does Kit Simons give to me as an individual? Where, how can I develop from him? And that's where I've got reservations. I don't think he's got the right level of experience to mould and develop the players for the purpose of retaining them. The likes of Pat Roberts expressed a wish to leave purely because of lack of game time, and ultimately the finger has to be pointed at Kit Simon. So there could be other issues there as well. Why aren't we extending some of these other players beyond the end of this season? You know, there might Good be point. Some other fundamental reasons, you know. So it's, a lot of it is around if you go to a new employer, what do you look for in a new employer? You look at opportunities, you look at development curve. Can I learn from my manager? I personally would struggle if I was a professional football player coming to Fulham Football Club and looking to develop under Kit Simons. He doesn't inspire me or doesn't inspire individual players. That's why I'm concerned, you know, for the longevity of the club.
Listen, you have valid points there, Emilio, and I'm not going to disagree with you on a good amount of what you just said, because I have reservations about him as well. I'm just looking at the structure of Fulham Football Club, and I think it has changed. I think it isn't all about the manager anymore. It really is about this unit that they've built, this triumvirate of Mike Rigg, Alistair McIntosh, and the manager. And the manager right now is Kit Simons. But again, I think that they built a squad that can pretty much, you know, I think still get top 10. And if he's on his game, if he can actually learn from his mistakes from last season, I think he can get the job done. But again, I need to see his ability to make adjustments. And if he cannot make adjustments, I'll be the first to say, you know what? I think Fulham need to consider someone else, because he needs to be playing chess with the other managers. And I want to see him raise his game, raise his ability to be a manager, because I think last season we saw him waiting too long to make changes, Emilio. He needs to really up his game this season, and that to me will be the difference for me with him. When another manager makes all these changes, and again, I even saw it with Alan Pardew in this friendly, you know, again, it's a friendly. He makes changes, he changes his formation. is Kit going to be willing to adjust to what the other manager does? That to me, for me, is my biggest question for Kit Simons. If he can do it, if he can play chess with the other manager, then potentially we could be on to something there with the talent. But again, for me, that's going to be the biggest challenge for Kit Simons. I'm hoping that he will improve as a manager. So I'm gonna go with him. I'm gonna say he's gonna survive this season, but we shall see. We shall see. Let's move on, and we have three more topics to get through. We'll do it a little bit rapid fire here, Emilio, to finish this up. Who will be our best signing this summer, Emilio?
Interesting. So you've got two ways of looking at it. You can look at who will be purchased to date, and based on the current crop of players that we've signed. I would have actually said potentially Luke Garbutt. Would have been up there, but I'd probably say Tom Kearney. I think we're not sort of jumping up and down about him, but he's probably going to be how would you say, everyone's focusing on Ben Pringle and Jamie O'Hara, but let's not forget Tom Kearney's there as well. I think what is it, 23, 24 years of age. I think he will quietly get on with business and actually be probably our most influential signing this season. But then again, I still believe we've got a couple of surprises up our sleeve, and it could be that a future signing in the next 3 weeks may prove to be that sort of killer signing that will make the difference to our squad. It could actually be a central defender, funny enough, who actually will keep us tight, organised at the back, retain that, make ourselves defensively more capable. And that could be the difference between promotion and playoffs, or even top 10. So at the moment, I'm going to go for Tom Kearney. So I think everyone's focusing on the more sort of, the fancy players in the squad. But I think Tom, if he stays fit, can make a difference to that squad. Let's see. I still think we've got a couple of surprises up. Obviously, I think there's still more signings to come.
Okay, very good. And listen, the Fulham supporters agree with you from the Viva El Fulham survey. They had Tom Kearney at almost 39%, Emilio. So they agree with you, followed by Jamie O'Hara. And this is an interesting one because this goes to what you just said. In third was still to be made at almost 17%. I like that. Still to be made was third. Followed by my pick. My pick is actually Ben Pringle. Ben Pringle was a little under 10%. I think Ben Pringle is going to be a huge surprise. I think his left foot is special. I think Ben Pringle is going to be great on corners, but I think he's also going to be fantastic on crosses. Watch out for Ben Pringle. I think he's going to be the new signing that's going to shock everyone. I think he could end up being the best signing. I'm going to go with Ben Pringle.
Yeah. All right. I'm interested there in Jamie O'Hara rating. 1 in 4 believe that Jamie O'Hara could be our best signing this summer. That's interesting because, we had a discussion before when they were speculating. I think when we signed him that evening, that day, and, I wasn't necessarily over the moon, shall we say, but I think we've got to give him a chance. He's capable, and if he can address some of his issues over the last 3 or 4 seasons, he could be that sort of new Danny Murphy, comes in as sort of late 20s, having a few disappointing seasons behind him and maybe being the difference. Danny Murphy was exactly the same. Coming to Fulham, didn't really deliver at Charlton or Tottenham. Came to Fulham, was a different player. So who knows? O'Hara could be another Danny Murphy equivalent, but interesting. 1 in 4 believe he could be the signing this summer. That's an interesting stat.
It is. And your comparison to Danny Murphy, I definitely see it. And listen, everything that I had heard from the match on Saturday was that Jamie O'Hara was a difference maker. And I'll be curious to see how he looks again against Cardiff City. You just brought up a great stat. 1 in 4 think that Jamie O'Hara could be the best signing. I think that speaks volumes. And, I know it's a free, but forget about it being a free. He was a talent when he first started. And, it might just be the right situation for him, Emilio, similar, like you said, with Danny Murphy. It was the right place, right time, and it worked out. And it might be the same thing with Jamie O'Hara. All right, let's move on. Two more subjects, and then we'll finish this this episode. Let's talk about who will be the player of the season. I'm curious your thoughts on this.
You've obviously got to look at Ross McCormack, being the obvious candidate for player of the season. I think it's, his ability to make things happen. But I think, if we deploy him in where he's effective, i.e. up front, him to score those 30-plus goals a season, do what he did for Leeds United. Let's do what Louis Saha did 13, 14 years ago and scoring 34, 35 goals to get us promoted. you know, he'll be the obvious candidate. But if LBC stays fit, you know, I have a feeling this could be LBC's, yes, disappointing second half of the season, injury prone, but he can put aside those injuries and recover the form he had, you know, certainly around October, November last season. You know, I'd like to see him being our player of the season. You know, I think this is it. Brent Pringle is maybe an outside bet, maybe, you know, for free. We're probably expecting maybe a little bit too much from Ben Pringle, but it's between Ross McCormack and LBC. And I think typically I'm a big LBC fan, and I like him to shine this season. So I'm going to give it to him, but I'm sure the rest of the fans are going to say Ross McCormack.
Well, you are right about that. Ross McCormack got almost 64% of the vote on the Viva El Foam survey. And LBC came in second at a little over 16%. Tom Kearney came in third, followed by Jamie O'Hara. I'm going to agree with the fans. I'm going to go with Ross McCormack, but my second was going to be LBC. I think LBC could have a huge season as well. It could very easily be him. But I understand why the fans are going with Ross McCormack. It goes back to what I had said earlier, Emilio. I think many of these signings that were brought in by Mike Rigg were to help out Ross McCormack, to give him the service he needs to be successful, to up his goal ratio. I think that, again, I think the players were brought in for Ross McCormack. Okay. So I'm gonna go with Ross McCormack. But listen, we do have to finish up the show. And let's now talk about the best young player of the season quickly, Emilio. Who do you have as the best young player?
There's a few young players out there. Corley Woodrow. I think, you know, I'm uncertain if he's got a future at the club. I like him. I like his energy. I like his appetite, but doesn't score enough goals for me, and I'm not sure he's going to play regularly. So he's not in my list. I would have liked to see Dembele making a difference this season, but it's quite clear from rumours that he wants to play for the club. Emerson Hyndman is another one you'd expect to be up there, but you know, where is he going to fit into the squad this year? It's still up in the air. George Williams, we don't often talk about, but I suspect he's going to go out on loan to get some match practice. And so therefore, who else is there? I'd probably say the obvious candidate is LBC. You know, he's the obvious one who will start most games. And therefore, I think you've got to look no one else but him. But I do hope we can retain Dembele's services. And again, why does he want to leave the club? That's, you know, I'm asking questions. Is he looking at the management team, lack of opportunities, or is there another fundamental reason? But that worries me. These players who are wanting to leave the club at that young age, what gives them the divine right to think they can go and play for a bigger club and guarantee first team football? There's other fundamental issues behind the scenes that we're not aware of, and that's what I'm concerned about. But to answer your question, Russ, I'd probably say LBC is probably the obvious candidate for young player of the season.
Yeah, listen, I completely agree with you, and it is a concern. You know, again, I'll be speaking about this in future shows. Dembele, Byrne, Bettinelli, and Hyman are all in the final year of their deal, and this is very worrying, Emilio. Again, I will be talking about this coming up because it's something that they need to rectify. They need to sign these players. These are young players, and those four players, it really does worry me what's going on. But I will agree with you, and the Fulham supporters actually had LVC at almost 69%, which is tremendous. But second, believe it or not, was Emerson Hyman at a little over 15%. And Emerson Hyman is someone that Fulham definitely need to re-sign. Followed by Dembele, and they have Colley Woodrow in fourth. So I do understand that, but it is LVC. LVC is a real talent, my friend. But listen, thank you so much. I want to thank you for doing this with me. It's a pleasure whenever I can do the show with you, my friend. This is fun to do tonight.
Nice. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me on. And yeah, just while I'm on the show, let me wish David Hulley, you know, all the best of luck in his recovery. So David, we're all here praying for you. So wish you well. Looking forward to seeing you at some of the games next season. And also Yanis and Nina and Callie. It was a lovely night out last Friday. Yanis in London. So yeah, big shout out to our co-hosts on the show as well. So yes, good show this evening, Russ. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, listen, it was really wonderful to do this with you, Emilio, and I'm glad that you mentioned David. David is recovering from his final surgery. I actually put that on the Cars Talk Facebook page and tweeted that out. So David is in the final stages of recovering. He's through that surgery, and now hopefully he will be back at Craven Cottage soon and also on Cars Talk. Looking forward to speaking with David Holly very soon. All right, my friend. Before we go, just a reminder, you can download Cars Talk on iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app, which is available on the iPhone, iPad, and the Android. Also, you can now listen to Cars Talk on the TuneIn app, which is available at most app stores for your mobile device. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. For Emilio Danella, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cars Talk. Cheers, Emilio.
Thank you, Russ. Have a good evening.